I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. Energy, the dominant story for the 21st century for states, super states. Russia is an energy super state. The United States is an energy super state. China, the player of the fastest, the most miraculous rise in Asia, is not an energy super state. What is to be done? Robert Cutler, writing most recently in the Central Asia Caucasus, a website that watches Central Asia very carefully because that's where the energy is a senior research fellow at the Institute of European, Russian, and Eurasian Studies, Carleton University. Robert, a very good evening to you. Big picture here is that China needs energy, oil, and natural gas. Russia has oil and natural gas. So you flag the visit from the new big boss in China, Xi Jinping, to Moscow to sign or to embrace Vladimir Putin and bilateral deals for energy trade into the future. This you identify as Russia playing China card against the U.S. I like that, and we'll come back to that. At the same time, you flag that Mr. Xi Jinping is also playing his own version of securing China's energy future. Which way is it now? Does China look to the West? Does it look to Russia and Kazakhstan for its energy security? Good evening to you, Robert.
Hello, John. It's wonderful to be with you as always. Yes, China has been following retrospectively, if you look back, a very clear path, and we can talk about other things in the future that they've been doing in Southeast Asia to get their energy overland from Asia, meaning Kazakhstan, Siberia, and other places, so that they don't have to depend upon the seaborne transit through choke points like the Straits of Malacca or Taiwan. And they've been doing a very good job at this. The recent trip of the president of Kazakhstan, Nursultan Nazarbayev, to China not long after Chinese leader visited Moscow is an indicator of this because, as you know, they signed some new agreements there. And they've been doing this for 15 years. China's been interested in Kazakhstan's energy for over 15 years, and they're just getting closer and closer, and it's a good deal for both of them, you have to admit.
There are other customers, however, in Asia, and that is part of the dance here because nothing is secure. China cannot conquer Kazakhstan, not in the immediate future. And Kazakhstan has other customers. You name one of them, the ONCG, which I understand is India's state-owned customer. And is it also a possible trading partner with Kazakhstan? And does that trouble China that India wants energy too?
Well, yes and no. The problem with India and Kazakhstan is that there are these mountains in the way called the Himalayas. You might have heard of them. And they're sort of hard to get through or around. And this has impeded the extension of much trade, including energy trade, between Kazakhstan and India since Kazakhstan became independent. And nevertheless, the Indian strategic community has been looking at Central Asia for some time and saying it's really in our neighborhood. We've got to get back and get some relations with these people. And so you had the ONGC, which is an Indian state-owned company that a few years ago they picked up 25% of an offshore field in the Caspian called the Satpayev field. They were ready to pay ConocoPhillips, energy company, that has a stake in this huge deposit called the Kashagan. It's the offshore deposit discovered in the year 2000, very difficult to develop. It's the largest strike since Prudhoe Bay.
This is well north, the north of the Caspian Sea.
That's right. That's in the northern Caspian. And the deal is that the companies, which are mainly Western companies, that are in the consortium, with the exception of the Kazakhstan national champion called KMG, that they have been trying to develop it. Kazakhstan has been putting conditions on it after the fact, after they signed the contract. And so occasionally some of the Western majors want to leave. BG, which used to be British Gas, left about 10 years ago. And now ConocoPhillips would like to leave. And so the question is, who's going to get their share? Well, this Indian company, state-owned company ONGC, last year seemed to get the nod from Kazakhstan that they could pay $5 billion for this stake in this huge, huge field offshore. Then Nazarbayev visits China, and it looks like maybe, because a funny thing, the consortium that runs this this development was restructured in the last few years. Kazakhstan sort of elbowed its way in with their national champion KMG, and the deal now is that Kazakhstan and KMG have the right of first refusal when ConocoPhillips wants to get rid of its stake. What that means is that they can pick it up and then sell it to whoever they want. And the Chinese have been trying to get into Kashagan for a decade. And so when Nazarbayev comes back from China, all of a sudden there are these signals that maybe the Indian company isn't a shoo-in, and maybe the Chinese company that the Kazakhstanis know very well, that they've been exporting oil with for the last 10 years, maybe that they're the ones who are going to get the stake in the Kashagan, in the Caspian.
What it looks like, then, is that the Chinese are using big money and big power politics to secure their flow of energy from the Caspian Sea. That's what it looks like, and they're cutting the Indians out. I'm sure the Indians will have something, and so will the Western oil fields. So I want to come back to the Chinese, because you write, and most recently, that they've suddenly established something called the Kazakhstan-China Business Council.
Right.
Is that what you'd have to say is an umbrella organization that is going to make this bilateralism easier?
Yes, it's basically a forum for all of the discussions that take place on an informal basis, and contacts between ministries and working groups. It's just going to give it an umbrella, rationalize the communication, give a more regular, periodic aspect to the cooperation, This is going to be, pretty huge, because it's this Kazakhstan Sovereign Wealth Fund is what's involved, and also the Chinese state-owned investment company called the CITC Group. They established this business council on the basis of all of the industrial cooperation they've had up until now, so it's not just a shell. It's already got something going, and in fact, one of their main projects, first projects of the business council, is to expand one of the oil pipelines, the oil pipeline that they built and has been running for 10 years. That was between KMG, the Kazakhstan national champion, and CNPC, the Chinese National Petroleum Corporation. That's the Atasu-Alashanku pipeline, in case you were wondering.
This is the 1,384-mile pipeline, which now is in place and leads into Xinjiang, the east.
That's exactly right.
Xinjiang, of course, is where there's a lot of turmoil, because the allegation is that the Han Chinese are suppressing the Uyghur minority there to secure the ability to get access to resources and the transition over Xinjiang, which is why I spend a lot of time talking to Uyghurs. You understand, Robert, there's geopolitics in all directions. They want to continue that pipeline, build a second pipeline, connect that to to interior of China. What do they want to do with it?
They want to expand that pipeline. You're right. Xinjiang is basically China's springboard into Central Asia and the energy resources there. Now, this pipeline that we've been talking about is only one segment of a longer pipeline. This pipeline that we've just been talking about, the 1,384-mile pipeline, only goes from, say, eastern Kazakhstan or east-central Kazakhstan over the border into Xinjiang.
It's not all the way to Kashagan.
But on the western side, what the Chinese have done over the last 15 years is they've picked up there was a Canadian company that had a 200-mile pipeline that they bought, and they've been in western Kazakhstan for 15 years taking losses on some firms that they bought during the privatizations in the late 1990s just in order to get this pipeline. And now it's all one piece now, and it goes from western Kazakhstan out near where the Caspian is, all the way across Kazakhstan and into Xinjiang. And the gas, we didn't even talk about the gas pipeline yet, the one from Turkmenistan, that what happens, because there aren't compared to the eastern part of China, there aren't that many people in western China and Xinjiang. So they do is they build a knock-on pipeline or a follow-on pipeline that takes it all the way to the coast in Shanghai and the industrial concentrations there. So it's really a very impressive piece of geopolitical engineering.
Robert Cutler is writing, a senior research fellow at the Institute of European, Russian, and Eurasian Studies. Look at your map. Look where the Caspian Sea is. Right to the east of that is Kazakhstan, a vast nation with very few people. And continue to the east. You'll come to Xinjiang, which the Chinese Imperial Army conquered some 60 years ago. That's China. China needs energy. It wants to secure the pipelines from the Caspian Sea. It's putting it together. It's using its money. It's very carefully dealing with Moscow and the Siberian gas and oil fields. And it's looking to play the long game. This is the Middle Kingdom. It's playing out 100 years now to secure energy and its growth and its national defense. I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show.